All right, big final hour for you here on the show, and we're going to kick it off with Paul Fenton, the assistant GM of the Nashville Predators, joining us here on the Grand Avenue Chauffeur Transportation VIP Hotline. Paul, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Good. Yourself, Tom?
I am tremendous. Paul, I woke up this morning, and every single team in the Western Conference had 68 points. What's up with that? I mean, have you ever seen it? Have you seen this? We had Keith Jones on, and last night he said he never saw it. Have you ever seen this, you know, five teams, everybody but the division leaders, tied with, 24, 25, 26, 23 games left in the season? It's crazy.
Yeah, I was wondering if we woke up in the same bedroom this morning or something, because every time I wake up, it's like Groundhog's Day here. Everybody's staying with it. You're watching night in and night out of teams playing three-point games, and, you know, that's the most nerve-wracking part of it all, is trying to put it all together. You're wondering who you should really be rooting for, because you end up doing it regardless.
It doesn't matter because somebody is going to somebody's always going to be missing out. If it's a West on West game, I mean, the only time you really know anymore who you should be squeezing for is when a Western Conference team is playing somebody out of the Eastern Conference, and then you just pull for the team out of the East. But it's ridiculous because it always impacts just about everybody. I mean, look at it, all the way down to Columbus, just 6 points out of the playoffs now, and they're in 12.
At least I do. I keep praying for just two-point games. That's all that I can. When I see somebody has won by two goals, I'm ecstatic.
Yeah, well, you're down 2-1 with 3 minutes to go in a game tonight. You'll be pulling for a three-point game at that point.
Hey. Hopefully not.
It'll be the other way around. Then you're pulling for a two-point game. We'll see. And this Vancouver team comes in here awfully banged up. I mean, they're having to make some significant moves to get anybody to play in their blue line, right?
Well, they're banged up. They've got five defensemen that are hurt. But unfortunately, they just keep winning. I mean, they're the best team in the National Hockey League right now, basically. Their forwards are stellar, to say the least. I mean, the Twins are stratospheres above everybody with their thought process and the ability that they have to make plays and finish plays. And that's the biggest problem with them is you can try to check them as much as you want. It's almost like the old Lemieux-Gretzky thing. You know, you can check them as much as you want, and they're still going to, at the end of the night, have 3 points on them.
We got a week and a half till the trade deadline passes. Mike Fisher, in a well-publicized trade, sent kind of ripples around the league, and I think it was one of those kind of trades that, because this isn't a run-a-player deal, he's under contract through the end of next year at a reasonable rate. You know, this was one of those deals where, you know, some of those other outposts that think that Nashville is joking around, you know, say, really, Mike Fisher? Yeah, that's pretty much the heart and soul of the, you know, Ottawa Senators, and he's now a Predator. Should we be sitting here anticipating any other moves between now and February 28th?
Well, is it good for your radio show if I said yes, you should be?
Yes. Say that. Okay. It's good for Pred's listenership, because I'll listen the whole 3 hours, because at any moment something big could happen.
Well, yes, we are then. We are definitely making deals left and right. You know, we're listening. We are doing our research. Our scouts do a tremendous job of preparation, and the majority of our business is done with preparation, and that's the good thing. Our guys are out there, they're beating the bushes, they're trying to find what piece might help us coming down the stretch here. And, you know, obviously we want to be playing long into the playoffs here, so we're looking hard at our team to see where it needs to be improved. And you know, it's been a good thing. Our ownership has stepped up and given us the ability to improve our team by getting Mike Fisher, and we feel very good about it right now. Do we have to tweak things? Nah, we're still debating it. You know, honestly, our goaltending is as you see, fabulous with Pekka and Lindbeck being able to play the Twin Towers there night in and night out. Our defense is as good as anybody's with Suter and Weber leading the charge. And then we get shot at it a little bit when we talk about our forwards, that they're not scorers, so to speak, or we don't have a superstar. But I'll tell you what, we come at everybody every single night hard, and we contribute from the top of the lineup to the bottom. And that's why we're so difficult to play against night in and night out and year in and year out since David Barry and myself and Brent Peterson have been here, you know, so 13 years of being able to bring the same product that never gives up.
Yeah, nobody feels real good when they leave one way or the other, win or loss. They always know that they were in a battle when they play a game against the Predators. And when the Preds don't, on the rare occasion where they seem to sleepwalk through a game, it's very apparent. You know, it's very obvious because it's such a stark difference to the kind of hockey that we see this team play night in and night out. Now, unlike you, I didn't play, you know, for six different teams in the NHL, but I did play in college, and I played for a few years after that. And you talk about Mike Fisher, from a chemistry standpoint, I think in hockey, and I coached college football, so you know I've kind of seen the different rooms. I think in hockey, chemistry is more real than almost in any other sport because of the fact that it's so fast on the ice. You almost have to have those two heartbeats as one in terms of knowing where guys are and who's back and, you know, and having those blind passes and so on and so forth. Plus, there's just the camaraderie amongst the guys. So it's a real live thing. Is he a guy that really, you know, fits into this room really well?
I think so. You know, we do a very good job of researching the type of people that we want to be Predators, and Mike has been on our radar for an awful long time, not because of the attraction of his, you know, his star wife. I mean, honestly, Mike Fisher has been the guy that we've been looking at for quite some time, thinking that we'd never have an opportunity to go and get him, and we have a kind of a guideline, a set of standards here that when I talk to our scouts, it's a given that we look at character type of guys, and we think and we're hoping that that character brings you championships at some point. You know, we believe that your goaltending is a starting point with a strong defense and then strength down the middle, and right now we're very confident with the centerman that we have down the middle and going forward here, and he fit right into what we're all about. We had heard great things about him. Now that I've met him personally, I'm very impressed with the way that he approaches the game every night. And even though it's just been a couple of games, you can just see that he fits the Predator way.
And you got a Hobie Baker sitting down there at Milwaukee. And for those of you that the great unwashed, that's the Heisman Trophy of college hockey. And he's come on of late. He's done some real nice things. He's gotten some awards of late. Is it silly to think that we might see him before the end of the year, or are you just going to leave him there and that's it and be done with it?
No, it's not silly. You know, he's played well as of late. You're right. The interesting thing with Blake is, you know, I've watched him since he was 16 years old with the U.S. development team, and then I had the ability to draft him and took him with our second round pick, which ironically was our first round pick in that draft. And knowing Blake and having nurtured him and developed him with the rest of our staff, you know, we saw that there was going to take some time for him to become comfortable in the pro environment, and that, you know, that's a maturity thing. And I've talked to him about it actually 2 days ago. I talked to him about it again, you know. Don't think that you're not good enough. I think that's the biggest hurdle that a professional athlete has to face, is his own inner doubt that he should be playing. I mean, it's no different than you know, somebody going into professional basketball and, you know, they started playing against Larry Bird or Michael right. Jordan, and they're going, you know, holy mackerel, here I am. I'm just wide-eyed and bushy-tailed. And I experienced it myself. So right. I mean, I can talk to him in those terms and say, you know, you got to believe, and it's almost you have to be a little bit cocky to say, you know, I can play with these guys. And that's what the nice thing is he's getting it now. He realizes that, you know, he's from obviously a great lineage here with hockey background, but it's still getting over the hurdle yourself, believing that you belong.
Did you not play like 15 minutes with Wayne Gretzky at one point when you were out at the Kings? Aren't you on that team with him?
Well, I was on that team, and then the reason I got traded is because of him too, because he didn't think that I could fit into what they were doing. And it actually was the best thing that happened to me, because I left there and scored 32 goals the next year in Winnipeg.
You mean a star player had some influence on the makeup of the team? I'm surprised by that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You got a couple hours?
We could tell hockey horror stories then about stuff like that, but there you go.
Try telling your wife that you got traded and you've been in L.A. for for a year at 85 degrees, and I said, we got traded to Winnipeg.
Winnipeg.
He said, where is that? And I said, well, just look above North Dakota, and it's 40 below.
The kid from Moose Jaw is all fired up, but not the kid from Massachusetts.
He's not like, at all.
Are you kidding me? All right, Paul, appreciate you coming on again and spending some time with us.
Anytime, you guys. Take care. We'll see you tonight.
All right, thanks.